Hey, this is Charles Rufino with Odd Muse Brewing. You can follow us on Instagram at Odd Muse Brewing, and you're listening to Modern Brews and Beats.
It's your boy 420D hanging out.
Modern Brews and Beats.
Hello, hello. You're listening to episode 149 of Modern Brews and Beats. I'm Jerry Richard, JW Richard with NTX Beer. And that's ntxbeer.net, as well as ntx_beer for Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And with me is cool Tony D out of Morrilton, Arkansas. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I am fantastic. Fantastic. You got a reference for us this week?
Episode 149.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty funny. I did a little digging on this one here, Jerry. So my cousin, who I love, she's like a sister to me. I'm the only child. And so all my cousins are really, really important to me. So my cousin, Katara, last name Ray, she's at @SheIsCute_4 on IG, by the way, guys. My cousin is only 4'10 as far as her height, Jerry. She's a little tiny thing. We poke fun at her all the time. 4'10 as far as feet equals 149 centimeters, dude. So there is my 149 reference of the week. My little cousin, who's older than me, by the way, her and her height, she is 149 centimeters tall.
Very cool.
That's my 149 reference. There we go. Yeah.
Cool. Shout out to Katara. That is awesome.
Yeah. My little bit cousin.
A little bit. Well, as far as events for the week, there's a lot of different things going on and some anniversaries to keep up with soon. So just pay attention to ntxbeer.net/event calendar for more of the events coming up in the week. You got a brew of this week, Tony?
Yes, I do, man. So lately, since the weather's kind of cooled down here in Arkansas, I've been trying to figure out a way to drink more stouts, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this has been an ongoing battle I've had for years. Tony, drink stouts, drink porters, drink stouts. But I just didn't know when because, hell, it's too damn hot. I don't know what flavor I'm about to get, so I'm always nervous.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to drink a stout, like, on a Sunday afternoon, since it has got a little cooler now. I'm a little bit more open to it. I don't know why. That's just how I am. I recently had a peanut butter milk stout from Belching and Beaver out of Oceanside, California. Dude, it was in the back of my fridge. One of those mini beers that just get lost back there. So I don't remember where the hell I got it from, but Jerry, it was delicious.
Amazing like that?
Man.
Okay, cool.
Yes, it was. I was digging that peanut butter. It wasn't too heavy on it. It was a really light beer. It was only 5.3 alcohol by volume. It wasn't heavy, and I'm always nervous I'm going to run into a heavy stout. This one wasn't at all. So shout out to them. Shout out to this peanut butter out. I was digging it, man. I'd definitely be on the lookout for that again if I see it anywhere.
So nice.
That's my brew of the week. What about you, man?
So I was going to grab something to bring it up here, but before we started recording, I actually stopped by Petacolis and had their Doctor's Orders. So Doctor's Orders is actually a West Coast IPA, even though it says Imperial IPA on there. But it's West Coast, and they did a version with calamansi lime, which I found refreshing, and it gave me the hop that you expect from West Coast, you know, hoppier on that back end, but that lime was a really nice taste in there. So that's going to be my brew of the week from Petacolis, Doctor's Orders, with it's a special variant with calamansi lime.
Nice. That's a new beer from Petacolis?
No, it's just a version. So many times when you're in the tap room, these are tap room releases only, where they'll take one of the beers and they'll actually make a variant there in the tap room. What are you listening to for your beats of the week?
Yeah, so one of my favorite groups, who I've mentioned on Modern Brews and Beats many 100 times in the past, Jerry, and I can say that now because we've done over 100 episodes.
Right.
Many 100 times, the Gorillaz recently dropped. It's not really technically an EP. It's just, I saw it on Spotify. It said single. The single was a song called Baby Queen, which kind of, it jams. But there was also two additional tracks on there, so a total of three tracks. A track with Thundercat called Cracker Island, and a jam, dude, with Tame Impala and Booty Brown called New Gold, man. Again, this didn't have a, I guess it's called Baby Queen. It wasn't an EP. It just says single. But yeah, it came out here on the 4th of November. It jams. And I've been jamming it. So, hey, that's my beats of the week. I'm digging it, dude. It's new music for the Gorillaz is always right up my alley. So I'm always going to be the first to jump on it as soon as I can. So that's what I've been jamming, man.
Okay.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, a nice little Gorillaz single. Yeah, you can have three tracks for a digital single, especially. This week, I've been revisiting We Are King, or just King, as their 2016 album has. It's just basically the letters King. But their dreamy R&B pop was one of the highlights of 2016 for me. And listening to it again this week with songs like The Greatest, Supernatural, The Story, Red Eye, and In the Meantime, just kind of reminded me how good these soul sense grooves are. So for me, it's We Are King. And other than a 2019 single rather, with Sam Sparrow called Outside the Blue, which is also a great song, I don't know if we're going to get another album from this group, which is kind of sad for me. I'm sure they're doing songs for other artists and background vocals and different productions, but I would love to get another album from them. But I'll definitely take the 2016 debut, We Are King.
I like that. I may have to put that on my Saturday or Sunday afternoon football listening list.
Yeah, definitely take a listen if you haven't heard it.
For sure. Absolutely.
So today's show, I know you've got a special thing that you're setting up for a top five, and we're celebrating Veterans Month and, you know, Veterans Families Month. So if you want to do the full intro, like kind of why this particular topic was, other than the month, if there was a personal reason why you feel that this was something you really want to do on this month.
Yeah, absolutely. So my, it is, as you mentioned, the day that we're actually recording this is Veterans Day. So my father is a veteran. Both my grandfathers are veterans. I have uncles who all served. But, you know, I always wanted to tie it into music because sometimes you forget musicians have other lives as well, especially back in the day. So, you know, I always wanted to research musicians who were also veterans, who also served for the country. So today, we are going to do a Modern Brews and Beats top five musicians who are veterans.
What are you doing, top five?
So number five on my list is actually a musician that I worked with when I lived in Houston. His name is Christopher Wilson. And Christopher Wilson is a singer-songwriter who I believe is currently in San Antonio, but he may be moving around. I know he was in the Army, and he does more of a pop rock style of sound. And I've actually performed with him, and so it was really cool to perform with this guy and hear his music, and I really like his music. So Christopher Wilson's going to be number five on my list as far as musicians that are veterans. I mean, while I also have other, you know, many in my family that have been in the service, none of them have been active musicians after that. Now, they are definitely lovers of music, but he was the first person I'd met that actually was in the service and actually performing after that time. So Christopher Wilson's on my list for the number five.
Number five for your boy, Coop Tony D, is kind of an obvious one here. It's an obvious one for people who knew, but people like me who didn't know until I was recently seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis Presley. I didn't know it. I was watching the movie. By the way, it's a decent movie. I didn't know Elvis served. I had no clue. Of course, it made big headlines because he was actually drafted to the Army in 1958. So he was in the middle of doing his thing, got drafted, went. Was discharged in 1960, so about 2 years, a little less than 2 years from the time he was in there. But Elvis Presley makes my list number five. Again, as I stated earlier, not one of my favorite artists, but Jerry, surprise here, I do have a favorite Elvis Presley song that is not necessarily in the phone, but it is on one of my playlists on Spotify, and that song is If I Can Dream from his 1968 NBC TV special. I don't know what it, something about that song. I don't know what it is, but I like it. I really, really like it, Jerry. So
okay,
yeah, check that song out if you feel like it. If not, no worries. But yeah, number five, Elvis freaking Presley.
Going on down the list, number four for me is actually going to be a musician that worked with Bud Powell and Thelonious Monk, and it's the pianist Elmo Hope. And Elmo Hope served in the Army during World War II. Again, he frequented that circle and also many other musicians and did his own albums as well. But that's someone that I heard even more about when I was reading the book Life and, oh my goodness, I'm forgetting, it's a long title. It's about the life and musicianship of Thelonious Monk by Robin D.G. Kelly. Got even more of a story about Elmo Hope and how Thelonious Monk really appreciated his playing, and it was always challenging trying to find different people to be in Monk's bands and quartets. And also learning how a lot of musicians around that time were, you know, not sure if they wanted to go into the military. And understandably so, because of all the things that we're facing here at home in terms of the very overt racism of housing practices and just where they lived and where they ate and their recreation. And so they were wondering, okay, you know, do we go into the service of a company, of a country that's treating us like this? And so, but there are a lot of musicians who did, and Elmo Hope was one of them. So he's number four on my list.
Number four for me, my friend, is an artist I, again, knew nothing about. Still never seen the movie, To Walk a Line. I believe that's what it's called, Walk the Line. Mm-hmm. But Johnny Cash. And the only reason why I bring up Johnny Cash on my list is because I'm not too familiar with his stuff, but I am familiar with the album series that he did with Rick Rubin, the American series, I believe it was called, including number four, which is called American Four, The Man Comes Around. There's a lot of covers on that album. But, dude, it's a chill listen album, man. And Rick Rubin was one of the producers on this one. Again, a little interesting fact about Johnny Cash. So, again, these are people who served in our military. He enlisted back in 1950, and was honorably discharged in 1954. So he actually served his tour over in Germany during that time period. But I was reading up on Johnny Cash, and born in 1932, started his music career in 1954 after he left the military. And Jerry, this is crazy. By 1990, this dude had already 75 albums already under his belt. My goodness gracious, like 75 albums, Jerry, that's nuts, man. Just pumping them out left and right. So when I saw that fact, that really, really blew my mind. But it really wasn't until, again, 1994 when he teamed up with Rick Rubin for those American album series. So I'm a fan of this number four album that came out in 2002. So whenever you get the opportunity to check that out, that is American Four, The Man Comes Around. And what really intrigued me about this, The Undertaker, since I'm a wrestling fan, used to use a little bit of this Johnny Cash music as this old Western dark vibe. So that's really what turned me on to Johnny Cash years ago, was, hell, if The Undertaker touches it, of course I'm going to pay attention to it. So anyway, that's my number four, my man.
You definitely want to check out some of his music. I mean, especially even pre the Rick Rubin project, and get into some of his classic recordings just to kind of get a sense of.
I do. Yeah, I do. I need to. And I've told myself this. I don't know why I haven't done it yet, to be honest with you. But I'm going to get around to it, Jerry. I'm going to put that on my to-do list before the end of this year. I don't know if I'll jump into all 75 of them.
Well, no need to do that. I mean, I'm sure you can find the best of and get into at least the best of songs.
The best of, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I do want to make a quick audible. Jerry, I see your list. I see my list. Mm-hmm. My number three is the same as your number one. So, Jerry, I am going to flip my number three and put it as my number one also, just so I can match your list, my man.
Well, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, I I want to, but okay. This is really in no particular order. So okay. I'm going to do my number three real quick, which was my number one. Again, no particular order, but I want to talk about the greatness of Jimi Hendrix, man. Mm-hmm. Just the name alone, already, like, it's Jimi Hendrix. He enlisted in the Army in 1961, only 19 years old at that time, man. You know, at that time, he was stealing cars, getting in trouble left and right. So he went over there. He enlisted in the Army in 1961. He was discharged in 1962 mm-hmm. Due to an ankle injury. From what I read, there's really not much to say. He's Jimi Hendrix. We know his life. Unfortunately, he's part of that 27 club.
Yeah.
As far as musicians who passed away way too young, dude. But even that little shortness of just greatness that he did, I love listening to some of his bluesy, more little, his bluesy music. Mm-hmm. I love the way he holds the guitar in his hand. The upside down way. It's just badass, dude. I want to dig. It's like you know so much information because he only lived to the age 27. Mm-hmm. But I want to dissect it so much. Like, I feel like, has the story been told properly? I don't know. Have I read the right story? Or is there stuff that I don't know? I want to learn everything I can about Jimi Hendrix because he was and still is idolized by musicians across the board in all genres. So that's my number three, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. I mean, definitely another artist you need to want to get into their albums. You know, he played with before he went and became the Jimi Hendrix that a lot of people were really familiar with. You know, he was on the Chitlin circuit. So he was working with mm-hmm. the Isley Brothers and their backing band. He was working with Little Richard for a while. And yeah. So, yeah, you want to definitely get into his music and get into his albums and his work. Well, see, number three for me is actually because I love the Peanuts and I love Linus and Lucy and I love Christmas Time Is Here, which is one of my favorite holiday songs, even though for some people it's somewhat of a sad song. Christmas Time Is Here is just a wonderful melody. And so when I learned about Vince Guaraldi being in the Army during the Korean War, I definitely wanted him on my list of musicians, jamming vets, as we're calling the show. So yeah, he's going to be number three on my list, Vince Guaraldi, who served in the Army during the Korean War and is most well-known for the soundtrack for the Peanuts and the different Peanuts cartoons. He did other music as well. He did other albums. And I'm not even certain if many of those albums are available digitally now. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I'm not certain if they're all available digitally, but, you know, definitely any of the work with, like, the Peanuts, like Linus and Lucy, Christmas Time Is Here, you're going to hear that on any digital service.
I love it. Yeah, I know you've heard the Crumbins remix of Christmas Time Is Here, right?
You know what? I'm sure I have, but I don't know if it can match. I don't know if any, you know, there are some versions that people do, which are definitely take a nice little step off the path that they do something a little different, but the solemn way that the piano is played in his version will always reign supreme. It's like someone doing Mel Torme's the Christmas song, you know, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Mm-hmm. I'm very sure some people have done versions of that song that are really kind of neat and kind of stepped off the beaten path a little bit, mm-hmm. but none of them will match the original version. I mean, those are the chestnuts roasting on the open fire, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of the same thing what I do with Vince, although I'm definitely down to listen to Crumbin's take on Christmas Time Is Here.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think you like it. I think you'll like it. I love it. I think it's fantastic. But I'm a fan of the Peanuts. My son loves him some Charlie Brown and Snoopy, man.
Mm-hmm. So what you got for number two?
Number two is a artist that has a place in my heart, Jerry. One, because I seem like I grew up listening to him, mm-hmm. although he's way older than me. Just at every family event, my grandmother would be putting on his record. And there we go. Let the party begin.
See?
And this was young Tony watching my family Drinking It Loud to this guy. And they loved it. And to this day, I love it. And that's B.B. King.
Yeah.
The greatness of B.B. King, an army guy. Was it World War II, I do believe? Yeah. Dude, I mean, this guy is just, he's, I put him on a pedestal. My favorite B.B. King album is Indiola Mississippi Seeds. It was a, I believe it came out in 1970. And this track is only like, it's only like a nine track album. And I thought, man, the storytelling on there is so good, man. I love a good blues storytelling. I love this album so much. It's on my to buy vinyl list. If I can ever find it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Wait. If you could ever find the album or find your list.
If I can find the album, okay. If I can find the album, I want to find that album. I want to crate dig and find that album.
Sweet.
So B.B. King, the B.B. King is number two for me on my Jamming Vets list, Jerry.
So number two for me is someone that I was introduced to. I mean, I remember songs that my mother enjoyed listening to, the tunes with him and Tammy Terrell, but it really was the soundtrack Trouble Man. When I was younger, that I enjoyed listening to, some of it was instrumental in the album and some other cuts that were there. Now, of course, by the time I was an adolescent, not quite teen, you know, Sexual Healing was all over the radio. But of course, he had plenty of other hits. You know, I knew about Heard It Through the Grapevine and How Sweet It Is and Ain't That Peculiar. And didn't realize until much later, I've read some a biography about him and actually into another one right now about his life and the tragedies and different things he went on. It was actually, it's interesting. He was born a day after my birthday, April 2nd, but he died. He was killed by his father on his birthday on April 1st. And this is Marvin Gaye. And with Marvin Gaye's life and his music, he's an artist that I'm still discovering, because while I am familiar with some main albums, there's one album I still need to listen to. What is it? Here, My Dear, that was after a particular divorce that I need to get into. And I know some friends of mine who are really like, okay, that album is the one. And some particular things going on there. But yeah, his live, I mean, I know he had a bunch of live albums. Some artists, it's interesting, some artists I'm fine with their live albums. And some artists, I don't want to hear the live. I want to hear a studio. I want to be at the live. I don't want to hear it on a record. There are a few albums that he released after, at least the label released anyway, after he passed too. I don't think I've heard many of those albums as much as the ones before he passed. But Here My Dear is the album. I Want You, you know, Let's Get It On. I mean, come on. These are things that some of this stuff I performed when I was in that band in Houston. And then some of the ones are just like, this is a really good sensual stuff. But yeah, Marvin Gaye. In fact, it was interesting. He not only was in the service, he was in the army. He actually was in two movies. And in both of those movies, he played a Vietnam veteran.
Oh, okay, cool.
So it was interesting that not only was he a veteran in real life, but they actually played a veteran in the movies he was in. But yeah, that's Marvin Gaye from number two.
I love it, man. I want to dig into more Marvin Gaye. It's on my pedestal of an artist that I really want to dissect his music. Mm-hmm. I always feel like I'm not a huge fan of the early. Was he under Motown?
Yeah, early sure.
On? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that Motown sound. I can listen to it, but I don't truly feel it emotionally. It's really good though, but I like some of his later stuff, especially like on the I Want You album and things like that. What was that? Like in the late 70s, I do believe. Even like the early 70s, like What's Going On? Yeah, stuff like that.
So well,
like,
What's Going On is also Motown too.
Oh, okay. But it sounded like a different tune, I guess.
It was. It was a different, basically a project that he had presented to Berry Gordy. And he really wasn't feeling it at first because he's like, oh, okay, well, that's not exactly what we're trying to do in terms of our types of music we're putting out. But Marvin Gaye was like, look, this is what I wanted to do. And so that was a huge, you know, this the What's Going On song cycle was a huge thing for Motown and R&B in general, because one is this socially conscious R&B record that was dealing with the situations of today. And you have to kind of figure when that album dropped, was it 68? Was it 68?
What's Going On, 71, just looked it up.
Okay, so, but think it's about, if that dropped in 71, that was like 2 years after Martin Luther King was assassinated.
Yes.
And you have all the unrest going on in the cities with various riots. And you can see how just fresh all of that is on this record. And it's amazing when you listen to it even now, you're like, oh, wow, that is still a message.
Absolutely. And still that's why a message. I love it. Yeah. You can go, it takes you back in time to that time. And you, I feel the passion, the emotion in his voice, every the music, the vocals, everything. Yeah, beautiful stuff, man. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. All right. So, yeah. So far to recap my list. Number 5, Elvis Presley. Number 4, Johnny freaking Cash. Number 3, Jimi Hendrix, the baddest man there was. And number 2, B.B. King. Let's run through your first four real quick, Jerry. So Angie won't get on to us.
Christopher Wilson started at my list off. And then we have Elmo Hope, jazz pianist, and Vince Guaraldi, another jazz pianist. I have, honorable mention, people are jazz. Marvin Gaye was my number 2. And since you moved your originally with number 3 to number 1.
I threw an audible in there, Jerry. Yes, I did.
You know, we actually can get right into his stuff. And I really, before I heard his work as a sideman, I heard A Love Supreme. And A Love Supreme was just the record that I was really pushed to listen to, right? Okay, you've got to hear this record. You got to hear this record. And once I heard it, I was living in Houston. I was like, wow, now I know why people said you got to hear this record. Where he's transcending and where he's growing. Now, of course, I didn't learn the story about his journey from the Navy into performing with other people through the drug use and the different things that other jazz musicians of the day were doing to basically survive a situation where they were playing their hearts out but not getting paid well for their gigs and all kind of things like that. Until much later, I didn't know about that stuff. But A Love Supreme is kind of where my love affair with John Coltrane started.
Wow, yeah, that's great. It honestly, just to be straight up, it wasn't until it's been a little over 5 years. Honestly, I knew of Miles Davis. I knew of Miles Davis growing up. Parents had a couple of Miles Davis CDs. Familiar with Miles Davis. I didn't know the people who played with Miles Davis. And talking to you, talking to Jeff Skinwade, talking to Alex Tremblay, who we had on the show, John Coltrane, this person, who is this John Coltrane? One, it's a badass name, John Coltrane. Two, the saxophone is a badass instrument I wish I could play. And when you put those two things together, he played with Miles Davis. People were putting this guy on the pedestal, and I said, "Who is this guy? I need to check him out." And after going and listening and doing my own research, watching documentaries, dude, I see why this man was idolized. I see why, in the jazz world, this is an icon. Right next to Miles Davis, and he played with Miles Davis. That's, dude, I am in awe, honestly, and I've already been in awe of Miles Davis, but now I've been in awe of John Coltrane and that damn saxophone, man.
Yeah.
I can't get enough. I recently watched documentaries on, you know, it was Chasing Train. I think that was the documentary.
Chasing Train, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great, yeah, great documentary that I've seen multiple times. I recently watched a Miles Davis documentary where they mentioned John Coltrane in there. Dude, I've been in awe of him. After talking to you and like Alex, have been just diving deeper into jazz, and the different kinds of jazz music. So, dude, I put him on a pedestal as well. And that's why I had to throw that audible in there. And I just noticed it now. I was like, well, I got to throw that audible in there. Because I love John Coltrane as well. And I want to thank you and the two other people I named to introduce me to John Coltrane. So cheers to all y'all, Jerry. That's my number one as well, John Coltrane.
If you want to read more on Miles, John Coltrane, Elma Hope, who I mentioned, and many other musicians that are around the time of Thelonious Monk, make sure to pick up the book. This is the book I meant to try to remember earlier, but now I just remember the title. It's Thelonious Monk, The Life and Times of an American Original. And that's by Robin D.G. Kelly. Thelonious Monk, The Life and Times of an American Original by Robin D.G. Kelly. You will get a full story on a lot of these people where you'll be just like, okay, wow, this it's kind of like the games that people play with, what's the actor, the seven, what's his name? You know how you, oh, you know who I'm talking about. You do. It's basically, there's a game where they'll say, and now I can't remember any movies. Oh, crap. But yeah, it's a particular game where they'll say Kevin Bacon. And Kevin Bacon's been in a lot of different films. And so a lot of times they have games of like, okay, well, this is seven steps from Kevin Bacon. In that same sense, when you read this book about Thelonious Monk, you'll read about all the musicians that he played with. And the full Robin does a fantastic job in this book of outlining their stories. It's almost if you're reading one book, but you're reading several books in this this thing. Yeah. So it's really good. It's also available on Audible if you'd prefer to listen to it. So that's just throwing that out there.
Send me this, text me the name of that for sure, man.
We'll do.
I need to check into that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah, that is our Modern Brews and Peace top five. Musicians who are veterans. Our jamming vets list, Jerry.
I like it.
I was digging it. Yeah, man. That was fun.
Very cool. Well, let people know exactly where they can follow you, so that way they want to hear your feedback once you do listen to some of this Johnny Cash and some of this Jimi Hendrix and some more Marvin Gaye.
Absolutely. Please follow me at Koo Tony D. That's KOOTONYD. I am on Instagram taking the beer pictures. I need to post one again soon. It's been a minute. I'm also on the Twitter. It's baseball season's over, Jerry. It was a hell of a season.
Yeah, it was.
We knew who was going to win long time ago.
Yep.
It was just a matter of time. So talking sports, talking a little bit of everything on Twitter. I'm also there at Cool Tony D. But yeah, check out my badass playlist on Spotify and SoundCloud. I am at Cool Tony D as well. It will not disappoint you. I guarantee you. But Jerry, I like to follow you, my man. So where can they find you at?
You can see me on NTX_beer, which is Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, mainly talking beer, but sometimes kind of getting into the music too. Then you can also see a few more things at ntxbeer.net, and that's where you'll find all the show notes for Modern Brews and Beats. You can also follow our Modern Brews and Beats handles on social. So we're Modern Brews and Beats, all one phrase, at Instagram. We are M, the letter M, Brews Beats on Twitter. So follow us in those places as well. One quick thing back on the World Series. It's funny because I have mentioned on the show before that I was following the Orioles this year. And honestly, seeing Mancini win was almost as if I was getting a little bit of the Orioles in there as well. So I was like, going, oh, you know what? All's well that ends well. You know, you got the Astros winning and you got a little bit of the Orioles, especially the one person who dealing with his own bout of, I think it was colon cancer, he wasn't even exactly sure if he was going to be able to play again. So that had to be something amazing to have experienced that.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure.
So we definitely want to thank you for listening to episode 149 of Modern Brews and Beats. Like we say every week, please enjoy your favorite beers, brews, and beats. But please do not drive drunk. Please call a cab, Lyft, Uber, a friend, or be a friend if someone needs to get home safe. Thank you for listening to Modern Brews and Beats.
Cheers.